we talked about the last time we delved into this, the attitude of servanthood, and that being a servant leader is where leadership begins in Jesus' kingdom. And that the way that we know a person is qualified to be a leader is if they are demonstrating servanthood. And if they're not willing to demonstrate servanthood, then Jesus says you're just blowing smoke, bottom line. So today we're looking at a different dynamic, and that is the dynamic of a person who's going to be a leader, who's going to be an effective disciple and discipler of others. Part of the job description is gathering other people. And that's something that I think in our culture, we say that's what the preachers do. The preachers gather. It's their job. Their job is to convene and to gather and to get people. And there is nothing that's more of a problem in understanding the kingdom of God than to say only certain people are a part of those who gather. I believe that if we look at what Jesus said about leadership, is that every follower of Christ is to be someone who gathers others together in some way. Doesn't always have to be on a large scale. And we're going to look at that today. So today we're going to talk about gathering. John, let's go to that first passage. So in Matthew 4, Matthew's gospel, he recorded Jesus as saying some important things. So first of all, he describes a situation. He says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake because they were fishermen. I want to make sure we got that. They weren't just out having fun. It's what they did. And Jesus said to them, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. And at once they left their nets and followed him. Now I'm going to call this sort of Jesus' job description for those who would follow him. First of all, he says, you come follow me. So what was Jesus doing when he did that? He was gathering. Okay, just like they were gathering fish in their nets, Jesus went where they were and gathered them and says, come, follow me. And then he says, if you come and you follow me, what you're going to end up doing is the exact same thing that I'm doing. You're going to gather people the way I'm gathering people, and you're going to gather people the way you're gathering fish right now. Be fishers of men. So what does it mean to catch other people? Jesus said it. What does it mean? If we're supposed to do it, we need to understand what he's asking us to do. Can I fish? I mean, and let's go with I'm talking about real right now, not, okay. Can I fish in the parking lot? If I want to catch a fish, I'm not going to catch a fish in that parking lot. If I want to catch a fish, I'm not going to catch a fish on the interstate. If I want to catch a fish, I'm not going to catch a fish if I'm in a grocery store, right? Okay. If I want to catch fish, where do I have to catch fish? What do I have to do? You got to go where fish live, right? So if you and I are going to be fishers of men, what is the first thing that we learn, and what is the first thing that Jesus modeled? You got to go where the fish are. You got to go where the men that you're fishing for are. Okay. So we can't abdicate being fishers of men by choosing not to go where the people we need to catch are. Now, in this case, where did Jesus go? He went to where? Where did he meet these knuckleheads? Okay. By the lake. Okay. Okay. So he went where they were, and they were fishermen. And that's where he found them, and that's where he caught them. He obviously said things to them that appealed to them, that gave them hope and inspiration, and they responded to what he said when he said, come follow me. Essentially what he said was, you're more important than you know. Come follow me. You'll find out. So we need to realize that we can't always stay where we are. We have to go where the fish are, the people that we need to catch. Okay? Now, where are some places that you can catch people? Now, I'm not talking about just anybody. I'm talking about you. Where can you catch people? I can catch football. I can catch people on a football field. I can catch people on a college campus. Okay? I can. I have to be careful about it, but I can. Okay? Where can you catch people? Okay? I mean, you can. Okay? What I'm trying to get you to see is that there are places that God has suited you especially for, that He has placed you in to catch people. So where can you catch people? Okay? So we've got somebody can catch people at Gulfstream. Where can we catch people?
In hobby related, any gathering that you have the chance.
Okay. Yes. You're right. Forgive me. We got to make it personal. Where can we catch people? There you go. Okay. So I want you to start thinking that way. Where is it that God has placed me, suited me for, that I know I can catch people? I know, because that's where He's put me. I can catch people there. Okay? There's things that I share that they do, that I do. There's interests they have that I have. And where are those places? And realizing that God has placed me there to catch people. All right. So we have to become aware of the fact that there are places that God puts us where we can catch people. So then what does it look like to catch people? Did Peter and James walk up to Jesus and say, here I am, catch me? What does it look like to catch people? Okay, building relationships, creating family, okay, building bridges, building, you know, points of contact with people, that's true. So how do we do that? Every fish that swims by is not the one that we get to catch right now. Maybe we get to catch them in the future, okay, but maybe not. It just depends, okay? So learning which fish is ready to be caught is an important thing. And then whenever we see that there's a fish that looks like it's ready to be caught, finding a way to move them towards the hook. I don't mean that in a negative way. Okay? So when we actually gather people, and when we catch other people, what we're trying to accomplish ultimately is that they would know Jesus and that they would have a changed life because of their relationship with Jesus, and they would respond to what God's done for them. But that's not what we start with most of the time. Most of the time it needs to be, I think way too often we don't focus on just being encouraging and helpful and a blessing to other people and telling people what we see in them and what they can be. People are attracted to people who see things in them. And I think by not doing that many times, we miss out on the opportunity to really tell them about Jesus. Does that make sense? Because some of us go straight for the thing, and we don't realize that what they really need is to know that we care first. And the ways we do that is by encouraging and blessing and telling them what we see in them and what we see they can be and who they, and that they can have hope, and that in doing that, then we are catching them. So don't hear me saying we're not supposed to share the gospel with them. We are. But we can't always start with that. I don't know that Jesus started with Peter and James. I don't think he said, let me tell you this. You need to know this. You need to embrace this. He's saying, come follow me and you're going to be something more important than what you are. Who can turn that down? He already had a following. He would go to the side of the side there where we'll call it the beach. Okay. And he would teach and preach there. And he had a rep already. Okay. In fact, what he would do is, in order to get to where people could hear him better, he would go into the water, climb on a boat, and preach back towards the shore. Chances are some of the boats that he got on belonged to Peter and James. So there was sort of a cooperative favor that was already established between them. And then after that had been going on for some duration of time, we don't know how long, we get this, hey, follow me and you'll be bigger. You know, you have more purpose in life. You'll catch men. Okay. So yeah, I agree. There is more dynamic. And a lot of times when we get a narrative, we miss the dynamic. But catching people is something we've got to become better at. So you and I, we need to be thinking, what am I doing to fish for people? Where are my fishing holes? Where are the fishing holes that God's placed in my life? And am I making sure that I spend enough time in my fishing holes to really catch fish? And am I really doing the things that I need to do in order to... It's not just... You know, sometimes we say build relationships, and yes, that's what it is, but it's more than just waiting for the relationship to develop. It's actually being a blessing and an encouragement to other people. Because truthfully, some of them, if you said, I want to have a relationship with you, would go, what? Why? So we have to make sure that we're doing the right things to catch. John, let's go to the next passage. It says here, Matthew 29, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. We know this passage, right? It's the what? Great Commission. Therefore, what are we supposed to do? Go catch people. Don't only catch people. What are you supposed to do once you catch people? What do you do with a fish once you catch a fish? Sorry, it's a gory analogy, but it works. Okay, what do you do with a fish? You clean them. There you go. Okay, so we're gonna use the catch them and clean them kind of idea here. So go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. That is essentially catch them and clean them. Okay, go to the pond. Go fishing, catch and clean. Does that work for you? Okay. So you don't just catch them, then you have to do something with them once you catch them. So here, we're supposed to do this as a normal part of the flow of our lives. Okay. You've heard me say this over and over and over again, but the force of this, really, the controlling verb in this Greek expression is not go. The controlling verb is make disciples. And so that means that the word go is subordinate to the word make disciples, which would mean that it's really supposed to be read more like make disciples while you're going, or as you're going. When you go, make disciples. So when you go to Walmart, yeah, you're looking to make disciples. And so Russell, because that's your workplace, for you that takes on a even different dimension. But for me, whenever I go to Walmart too, but it's for me a smaller pond, but it's not in my fishing district. Okay, for me, my fishing district is right now is kind of has been football field and Savannah State. That's where I go a lot. And so whenever I sit down with my students and I meet them one-on-one to score a paper, you all just don't understand what I have to deal with. Okay? I have them come in and they're in tears because life has not gone the way they thought. And some of them can't even articulate what's going on. So the reality is I'm doing ministry under the guise of being an English professor. Now, I can't always do what I would like to. I can't always say, "Can I pray with you right now?" I can't do that. Okay, some I might actually be able to get, but very rarely can I do that. But I can refer them to people that hopefully can help them and get them into places and have them communicate with people that can give them the things that they need, support them in the ways they need supported whenever I do encounter that. And that's a part of that too. Catching them and not just catching them. What happens when you leave a dead fish in a bucket? Yeah, after a while it starts, it stinks. And okay, right? Well, we got to understand, we got to do something with those folks that we catch. We can't just let them sit because that does not accomplish the making them disciples. See, we were made disciples in order to make disciples. We were not made disciples to just sit there, which is part of why in fellowship leadership, what we're supposed to be doing is gathering people, catching people. So I want to talk with you today a little bit more about some ways that we can do that as we kind of press on and look at a couple more passages. John, go to the next one. So here we've got Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said, John the Baptist, by the way, and who had followed Jesus. And the first thing that Andrew did was to find his brother, Simon Peter, and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." So here's some of the backstory. That is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. And finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." So here's another person that Jesus is gathering. Philip and Andrew and Peter, like Andrew and Peter was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." What do we see going on here? Do we see people catching people? Did they have relationships with these people already? Yes. It's all about relational networks. So do you think these disciples, at least at this point, seem to get the idea? They were caught in order to go catch. John, next one. Acts chapter 10. Here we have the story from Acts 10 about Cornelius. Call it the Gentile Pentecost. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. And the following day, he arrived in Caesarea, and Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. What did Cornelius do? Gathered people together. He knew something was going on. He knew it seemed this God that he had been worshiping was up to something. And so he wanted people to be a part of that, to come see what this was all about. So he gathered people. It was the first thing he did when he heard from God, was he decided, if God's arranging this, I need to gather people to see. So here's some lessons in all of this. John, if you go to that next slide, please. Lesson number one. Followers of Jesus will be collectors of other people. So, how can you do that? How can you be a fisher of men? How can you gather other people? What are some things you can do where you are to gather people? So that not only are we catching, but we're cleaning too. There's a lot of ways. Number one, we've got to get time. And we have to communicate to people that we want time with them. And that we think that they're worth our time. And if we would communicate that to people, I think people would respond. Because people are starving for someone to care about them. And so if we just simply say, you know, I'd like to hang out with you. Or I'd like to, you know, let's do this, let's do that. And it sounds like you have sort of done that with this coworker. Okay? They're willing to share with you things that they know you may not necessarily, or even ask you questions, you know, about things that they know may be uncomfortable. Okay? As frustrating as those kind of questions can seem at times, at the same time, they're willing to do that. That's a pretty good thing. You're safe. So I think that's a part of it is making sure that we try to spend time with people. It may be that at work, it's just saying, hey, let's, you know, you got to start somewhere. Let's do this. Let's meet for breakfast. Let's eat lunch together. Let's do this. Let's do that. Oh, it may be, hey, you know, there's some opportunity that you have in your house you need help with and somebody can do. Hey, can you come over and help? Whatever it might be to get time with that person to let them know that you think they are valuable, they are worth your time, and you would like time with them. On one level, that's gathering people. You're saying, hey, you're important. You know something I need to know. You have something I need to listen to or, you know, whatever those opportunities are. But I don't think that we leave enough time a lot of times for those kinds of things. And we need to. Sometimes it's a matter of confessing we need help and letting God use our need for help as His opportunity to build a relationship. So followers of Jesus will be collectors of other people. It may be that there's somebody that you know that you could say, hey, you've heard that they... Let's say you've heard them say something about praying. And you say, hey, I heard you say something about praying for so-and-so. You know, I've got some things that you know, we can hang out together, you know, maybe 15 minutes before work, and let's pray about this. Okay? Or you talk with, you take specific opportunities to spend time with those peers where you can work together to see how you can catch people. Just gathering people. It may be that you start a group that gets together to just encourage one another or help one another wherever you are in work or in your, in whatever areas of responsibility God places you in. Am I rambling or is this making sense to you? Okay. We got to find ways to get people together. To be with people. Collecting people starts there. Second thing there, John. It is not enough to be satisfied with a group or a crowd. We have to develop people. Because fellowship leadership means that we have to be encouraging everybody else to become disciple makers, fishers of men, not just people who are our audience and that we then have as this cohort that accepts us and believes in us. Because that's not what we're called to do. I'm not called to have a following. I'm called to make disciples. So are you. What's the hard part with that? Tell me some things that are hard about that. What's hard about gathering people for the purpose of developing them? In this case, as followers of Jesus. Okay, that's on our part. Okay, so the risks we have to take to do those things, to gather people, to get time with them, to try to speak into their life in an encouraging and helpful way. Okay, all right. What's the challenges on the other half, the other side of that equation? One of the most frustrating things that I deal with in my professor job is to see a student who I know has ability and they fail to apply themselves, whether by not submitting assignments, not showing up. So, what am I talking about on the other side of the equation? Have you ever had somebody stare you in the eyes and say, "No, thank you," even though they like the idea of being a Christian? They'll tell you, "I'm not in for fishing for men. I'm not in for gathering people. I just want to follow." Sometimes they say that, yes. Yes. Sometimes that is what they say. We're not, go ahead, Artie. Please shoot. Go. Too many people are satisfied or have this mental image of what it means to have a church gather. It's not a crowd. It's not a group. There's a dynamic that is not in the definition. It's being the people of God. It's being part of the kingdom that we cannot fully see, but yet we see a piece of it here and now. And part of that is realizing that it is about people being changed. And the moment that we are satisfied with either us not being changed or them not being changed, we are no longer fishing. And that's what we were called to do. Catch them and clean them. John, next point. So God is at work in more places and in more lives than you can comprehend. When God gives you an opening into somebody's life, take it. You don't sit there if you're fishing and you can feel that fish nibbling on that hook. You don't just sit there if you can see that fish, you start to do something to try to catch a fish, right? Get that hook to set. When we see that opportunity, that's the time. You might get another time, but you might not. Maybe somebody else. Or it may be that was the time. Think about it for a second. Have you ever had somebody you thought was just never going to be looking for God, never going to be open to Jesus, and then something happens you never expected? And all of a sudden, their world is turned upside down and they have questions. If we're not in the right place at the right time, ready, then all that time we've been wasting, then it is right there in front of us because we weren't fishing. We weren't catching. And now it's time to set the hook and we don't have it. So let's go to this last screen. So followers and leaders gather people. Not only that, leaders call others to gather people and model it themselves. Leaders develop those they gather. And the church grows God's way when we follow where Jesus leads us to gather. In a sense, that's kind of what we're talking about and going back to good old Georgetown. Okay? We are going to go where He tells us to gather. But we, each one of us, need to be doing this. Each one of us need to be looking for people to gather in one way or another, gathering people, be around people, and we have to be the ones to go gather them. Even if it's not, "Hey, I want to help you develop as a believer in Jesus." That's probably not where a lot of this is going to start out. But it is where we want to go. Okay. So what do you hear? And what are your thoughts? What's God saying to you about this? Because we're going to be entering into a new time. Going back to Georgetown is not going to be the way it's always been since we've been here the last 7 years. Okay? So what are some areas to gather people, again, that you have? You can gather guys can get guys together on and eat breakfast once a month. Whatever. Okay? Maybe even more often than that. Okay? Ladies can get together and talk about the struggles they have with their kids. Guys, dads can do that too, by the way. I'm not trying to be sexist about that. Co-workers can get together and talk about work problems. How to solve work problems. Okay? We need to be thinking and open to the ways that God works and moves us so that we can be where we need to be to make disciples, to gather people. Can you clean a fish before you catch it? Okay, we got to be catching and then we got to be clean, but we got to catch them first. But we need to be catching. Servanthood, catching. There's a couple other things we're going to talk about, but those are the first two. And if we're going to be the kind of disciple makers that God wants us to be, we've got to be about those two things. What do you have to say, Brian?
We all know what the right bait is. You got to become that bait. You can't just talk the talk. You got to walk.
How to preach?
No, they care. You care. Genuinely. A young boy that works with me personally had his gallbladder removed. I called him up Thursday just. And God is a personal relationship. I don't need nobody. A good excuse to not go to church, basically, or not be part of a church. But I'll keep working.
So you get to be church with him. Huh? You get to be church with him.
Right.
Then maybe you get to expand to somebody else. Say, hey, let's talk about this. And maybe after a while, God shows you, hey, can we get him to kind of come and meet with us? And we can talk about all this stuff together. Who knows? All right. Anthony, would you close us in prayer, please?